closing up that book. A few weeks ago, we skipped the verses, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord, and fathers, don't exasperate your children, because it discourages them. So we're going to pick up on that verse. We didn't skip it because it was unimportant. We skipped it because we wanted to put a special emphasis there today, because kids, families, the whole relationship amongst families is so important. And families are one of the great values that we have as a church, to be an intergenerational family of Christ followers, to be teaming with kids. And so it was great to see the kids up here today. And every couple of months, we don't have our Sunday school, our Kids Quest. We have the kids join us because that's one of our values, to be this intergenerational family together. So that's the first thing we're doing, is looking at the relationship between parents and their children. The second thing that we're doing is beginning our Advent sermon series. And we're going to be launching off of Luke 2:33, where it says, Mary and Joseph marveled at what was said about Jesus. So many things came towards Jesus, and people were said about him. Angels sang about him. People came and made prophecies, and Mary and Joseph marveled. And through the next few weeks, we want to marvel at who Jesus is. And today, we're specifically going to marvel at the relationship between the Father and the Son. And as we're looking at our own parenting relationships, what a better place to say, well, who is God the Father and the Son, and how they relate to one another? So I'll break this message into two parts. The first part, I'll speak to parents. Then we'll stop, we'll have a song, I'll invite the kids forward, and then I'll just preach to the kids, and parents, you can eavesdrop in so you got something to talk to them later about. So parents, when we marvel at the relationship between the Father and the Son, we look at God the Father from eternity past and the relationship that he had with his Son. We read, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Can you imagine what those conversations in heaven were like? Here we have the Father and the Son, and God the Father's like, you know, these people, they need a Savior. They need someone to come and bear their sin, to take that punishment of sin, to be the substitute so that they can have life and freedom and forgiveness. And they start talking and interacting, and the Father says, I'm going to send you. You have all these glories in heaven. Everything's wonderful. Everything's perfect. I want you to set that aside. I want you to empty yourself of all of these glories and become human. And not just become a man, but become a servant. Be a baby. I've got this great place for you to be born. And the Father and the Son, you can... I don't know what their interactions were like, but they have this relationship, and the Father sends the Son. So, of course, we have the whole Christmas story, and the baby born in a manger, and as he grows up, and at Jesus' baptism, the Father speaks from the heavens, and the Son hears, and he says, this is my Son in whom I love, and I'm well pleased with him. Listen to him. And there the Father is affirming his love for the Son. What a precious thing to know that your Father's pleased with you, to hear that, to say yes. And throughout Jesus' life, he's often talking and he's saying things like, I've come to do my Father's will. And he prays and he spends time, and then he knows what his Father wants. There's this mutual understanding between the two, and the Son understands what the Father wants, and the Son has great delight to say, I'm enacting what my Father wants. Because his Father's good, he's full of grace, he loves his Son. And then when his Son, in obedience, goes to the cross, takes our sin upon himself, he's died, he's buried, and then the Father raises him. And he exalts him to his right hand, he gives him a name that's above every name. He just exalts his Son. And the relationship between the two is special, it's precious. I love that relationship, they're so close. Connected, united, and we marvel at that. And throughout the Christmas season, as we look at specifically God becoming man and living amongst us, we marvel at the relationship between the Father and the Son. And so as we come to our passage in Colossians chapter 3, we want to ask ourselves, what kind of relationship do you hope for with your children? I'm sure you've dreamt of what it could be, what you'd like to see happen. And we have this idea in mind of various pictures of that beautiful relationship. But as we know, we don't always see those dreams fulfilled through various brokenness in this world, whatever it might be. Sometimes we just don't have that connection. Sometimes we just don't have what we'd hope for as that ideal in that relationship. But dream for a moment. Imagine what it could be. If you were to turn a corner and there was an opening, what would you hope for in a relationship with your children? Now, Colossians chapter 3 gives some advice. Speaking to fathers, it spoke to the marriage relationship, it spoke to masters and slaves. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. And then in verse 21, it says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children or they'll become discouraged." Other translations, "Do not exasperate your children. Do not provoke your children." Don't provoke your children, otherwise they may become discouraged. And in doing this, it starts off and it says, "Fathers." The word could be translated as "parents," but because of the society and the culture where the father was the authoritarian leader in the home, it's specifically referring to the father, although it's a generic term for parents. So today I'll say parents, whether it's single parents, couples, complex family dynamics, all parenting of any sort, whether you're stepping in to help as a relative or a friend, I think this is good advice for us. And it starts with a negative command. Do not provoke your children. Why? Because they'll become discouraged. And if they're discouraged, then what? They won't have that connection, that relationship. There won't be that hunger and that desire to please. And so don't provoke. That's the negative command. So if there's a negative command, what would it be worded if it was worded in the positive? I imagine it would be, make it a delight for them to obey. Do your children find it a delight to obey you? Because life is hard enough, isn't it? And as parents, you're there as an aid. You're there not to bring them down or to be part of the problem, but to lead them and to guide them. Now, why would any parent want to provoke their child in the first place? Right? Do any of you set out and go, "I'm going to really push their buttons today"? We don't do that on purpose. Yet, if you're like me, it happens from time to time, doesn't it? Or you just get in there and you're getting them and they're getting riled up and whatever it might be. Where does this exasperating come from? Well, I imagine we'd all have different motives and things driving us. But if we were to boil it all down, wouldn't it come to me? I want my rights. I want my comforts. And child, you just crossed me, right? You didn't live up to my standards. And when that happens, it becomes a little bit easier to provoke them, doesn't it? Well, at least just to put them in their place. Maybe raise your voice a little, lose your cool, but not too much. Give harsh commands, change the rules, mid-course, whatever it might be. When it's my rights are being violated, and I'm the parent, and I know best, and I know what I want for them, and fully justified because what they just did wasn't called for, now it's easy for me to turn and retaliate and to provoke them. And so the same lesson that we learned with masters and slaves, where it says, "Masters, provide for your slaves what is right and fair, because you know you also have a master in heaven." It's appealing not to, you're your own boss and do a pretty good job at it, saying, no, if masters have a master in heaven, parents, you have a father in heaven. And because you have a father in heaven, you're not living for your own rights, your own comforts, of whatever you do to please you. You're living in such a way that you want to please your father in heaven. And so, as we recognize who our father is, then we say, I'm not here just for my own comforts. I'm here to lay down my life and to care for them, to sacrifice for my children, to love them and to lead them. Doesn't that push provoking aside? Now, sometimes when you're parenting, you just got to make it through to the next day, don't you? Things are getting tense. It's difficult. You're not quite sure what's happening. Like with our sound. Let's switch over to this microphone here. And we won't blow everyone's eardrums. Can you hear me? Okay, sorry about that. That's like parenting, right? All of a sudden there's these noises and it's like, what's happening? And sometimes you just want to make it to the next day. And if you can make it to the next day and the next day and get your children just to become adults and launch them, you did better than Adam and Eve, didn't you? Like, look at their kids. Cain killed Abel. The very first humans, and what happens? Leave kids to their own devices. The natural tendency? I'm sure Adam would be objecting right about now, saying, well, wait a minute, I didn't have a father growing up. We'd say, well, you didn't have any bad cycles to break either, did you? I don't want to pick on Adam and Eve. I'm sure they probably did a pretty good job. But we recognize that the natural tendency is we all have sin. Kids have sin in their hearts, and it comes out. And so this is telling us, don't provoke your children. And sometimes when we recognize, yeah, I don't want to provoke my children, so the easiest thing to do is just turn your back and walk away. Which sometimes is wise, but that's not calling. It's different from calling, give them their space, to let them lead their own lives and don't be part of it. It's easy just to be passive as parents. Just to sit back and give them space and let them make their own decisions. And I'd rather just put up my feet and relax anyway. But no, this isn't calling for passive just to avoid chaos at home. Think of the priest Eli in the book of Samuel. A godly man, a great priest, a guy we hold in high esteem. He brought little Samuel into his home. He helped Samuel recognize the voice of God. And Samuel grew up to be a great prophet, anointed King David and did wonderful things. Eli had a couple of sons of his own. And I think Eli was kind of your typical Canadian parent. He's permissive. He let them do their own thing. The boys, they wanted to take the best meat from the sacrifices. And who was Eli to get in their way? Because if they want it, you want what's best for your kids, right? And you kind of let them do their own thing. He was permissive. He didn't want to offend them, so turned a blind eye. As the boys got older, they started bringing girls into their rooms. Eli wasn't too pleased, and every now and then he'd holler out, boys, smarten up, don't do that. But he didn't have that relationship with them. He didn't have that understanding where they saw his heart and his desires and took his values. He didn't engage with them. He just threw pot shouts out every now and then. And God said, I wasn't pleased with Eli. He wanted him to be part of his kids' lives, not just to be passive on the side, but to be actively engaged. And if children don't learn to obey their parents, how will they learn to obey anyone? The teachers, others, the police, the government. If children don't learn to obey their parents, how will they learn to obey God? Now, of course, the way that you're going to instruct and lead a 2-year-old will be different than a 10-year-old and a 16-year-old and even a young adult. But we're called to be actively engaged in their lives, to make it a delight for them to obey so that they won't be discouraged. And children, they'll naturally succumb to their own selfishness and sin nature, leading towards destruction, and parents are called to lead. Not in a way that provokes, not to poke them every time they do something wrong. Now, contrast Eli and Adam and Eve with Naomi and Ruth. Naomi, she was married, she's living in a distant country, she had her sons, they grew up, they married foreign girls as well, and when Naomi's husband passed away, her sons passed away, she was left with her daughter-in-laws, and Naomi says, I need to go back to my own country. And Ruth especially clung to Naomi and says, I'll make your people my people. I'll make your God my God. And they had such a relationship that Ruth said, I'll give up my life to follow you. What a neat connection that they had with one another. What type of relationship do you have with your kids? How do you respond when they go off? Because they will. They try and assert themselves in their own will, and how do you respond? Do you make it a delight for them to follow your lead and to obey? Or do you provoke them and exasperate the situation? Or do you do everything to teach them, to love them, to guide them, to lead them, so that they aren't discouraged? And so the challenge today is, parents, how can you grow and develop in being good and loving and generous, where you're engaged and very present, where your children know that you're pleased with them and that you value them and love them because you take time to listen instead of simply just giving instructions and orders, but you're engaged with them. And why? Because we have a Father in heaven who's more than just a model, but He is our life and our power and the one that we follow. That sets us free to lead and to love our children well. Parents, let me pray for you. We'll sing a song and then I'll call the kids forward and we'll speak to them. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for parents. And the parents here, pray that you pour out your blessings on them, that they may recognize you as our Father, that we can see you and your love and how you lead and are generous and are affirming, how you give and sacrifice to the point you gave your own son. Teach us as parents to walk in your ways, to love our kids, to lead them well. Empower us as a church to disciple our children that they may know you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, children, the next verse is for you. So I'd like to invite you to come on up front. Now, how do you know if you're a child or not? Let's sit right down in the front chairs here. Chairs. Yep, we'll get in the chairs. Stairs are good, but we'll sit in the chairs. If you're 18 and under, you're a child. Some of you are too cool to come up front, so I forgive you. But if you want to come up front, I've got a special guest that's going to teach us a little bit about obedience. So, Lucy, come on in. Talking about obedience today. Dad's in the back. Was that dog very obedient? Not really. Now, Lucy came in here yesterday and practiced on the stage. And yesterday, she was super obedient. She did all the tricks. She did all the commands. What happened today? Yeah? Yeah, distracted by the crowds, lost her place. How come she didn't listen to me? Why not? Oh, I didn't give her a treat. Okay, I want to try something here. Kids, come on, stand up. Stand up. You can do it. Most of you know how to stand. Okay, jump up and down. Good kids. Turn around. Sit down. You guys are good. I didn't even give you treats. Some of you are holding out waiting for treats. I'll get you pizza later. Yeah. Obedience is a funny thing, isn't it? You guys know how to sit. You know how to stand. You know how to turn around. Do you know how to get dressed by yourselves? Do you know how to brush your teeth? Do you know how to clean your room? Yeah, you guys know how to do it. But here's the question. Are you obedient? If mom says go brush your teeth right now, you know how to do it, don't you? But are you obedient? Sometimes, a little bit here, a little bit there. You guys know how to do more things than Lucy does, don't you? But when it comes time to clean your room and your parents say, go clean your room, are you obedient? Because you know how to do it. And sometimes you do it cheerfully and you go pick up your stuff, and other times, time for bed. You know how to do it, but sometimes you start dragging your feet and you're going slow and you whine and you complain and I don't want to. You know how to do it, but knowing how to do something is different than obedience, isn't it? Lucy knows how to sit, how to be sneaky, how to do many different things, but when she gets distracted or she doesn't feel like it, she doesn't do it. And obedience is kind of like that. Now, it gets even trickier if you have something super special and you're asked to share. A little bit trickier to be obedient sometimes. Or if you get upset and you don't get what you were hoping you were going to get, now it becomes even trickier to be obedient. So, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible is talking to you. And this verse, it says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Obey your parents in how many things? Everything, for this pleases the Lord. But sometimes, when we don't feel like obeying, we'll start to have this attitude of, I don't want to. In fact, I won't. And even if my parents force me, well, maybe I'll do it, but I'll look like this. Right? We're called to obey because it pleases the Lord. Now, imagine a kid at school, and they go to the principal at lunchtime, and they say, there's a super special ball in the gym in the ballroom. Can I use it outside? And the principal says, yes, go choose your favorite ball, but remember, the ball is for everybody to play with. Go and share with your friends. You're so excited. You got what you wanted. You have a smile. Of course I'll share. I'll go play. And you go and you find the best ball there is. You take it outside. You start kicking it around with some friends. But there's one kid that was bugging you all morning long. And they say, pass it to me, pass it to me. And you're like, nope. And you don't pass it to them. And then another kid doesn't follow your rules. So you get upset with them and you don't let them play. And then another kid doesn't pass it back to you. They pass it to someone else. And finally you go grab the ball and you put it under your arm and you say, this is my ball. I'm taking it. And then one of the bigger kids comes over. And they say, you're supposed to share the ball with everybody. And you yell, who made you the boss of me? Right? That's what kids say all the time, don't they? Who did make that kid the boss of you? It's your ball. You chose it. You get to set the rules. And then The bigger kid doesn't even answer. They just look over there. And they're looking at the principal. And the principal's looking just at you, smiling. Who made the kid that boss of you? The principal sent them over to remind you to share, right? The principal has the ball. He let you use it. And you've said, I'm the boss. And when it says children obey your parents, it becomes hard to obey your parents when you start to think no one can be the boss of me. I'm the boss of myself. Isn't that right? And when we start to think, I want to make my own decisions. I know what's best. I know what makes me happy. Then it's hard to listen to others. It's hard to share with others. And then when our parents ask us to do something that we don't feel like doing, we think, I don't want you to be my boss. But this verse is reminding us that we have a Father in heaven. It's not just our parents giving us instruction, but God has given you the people that take care of you. The people that watch over you every day, and that love you, and that feed you, and care for you. God has given you those people. And because God has given you those people, He's asked you to obey them. And because He's asked you to obey them, when you obey those people who are parenting you, who are you really obeying? You know it. Yes. When you're obeying the people who parent you, you're actually obeying Jesus. And you're obeying His Father, our Heavenly Father. And as we look at Jesus, Jesus was the Son of God, and He had a Father. And God the Father asked Jesus, I want you to leave everything good in heaven, all the wonderful things here, and I want you to take all the powers of being God and empty yourself of that by putting on human skin and becoming a human. Jesus said, yes, Daddy. And He gave up all the best things that He had, and He became a person. And as a person, God the Father asked Jesus, His Son, He says, I want you to serve others and always put others first. Jesus said, yes, Daddy. And then God said, I want you to take their sin and I want you to put it on yourself by dying on the cross and have people being mean to you and saying mean things against you. And in that, you can forgive people of their sins. And what did Jesus say? Yes, Daddy. And Jesus obeyed His Father, and as He obeyed His Father, it gave Him great joy. And He knew He was following what was right and what was good. And we look at the relationship that Jesus had with His Father, and it was amazing. And it was wonderful. Jesus loved spending time with His Father and being with Him and praying and talking with Him. Jesus, He kept saying, I've come to do my Father's will, not my own. And He gave up His life because He was obeying His Father. So when we're called, it says, children, obey your parents in everything. That's a pretty big task. Has anyone ever failed at that? You've disobeyed? Yep, me too. Probably many times. And we know that God the Father forgives us because of Jesus. And parents want to forgive and have a good relationship with you. And the people that care for you and love you, they want what's best for you. So even when they're asking you to do things and you're like, but it's not fair and I don't want to, they're actually caring for you and loving you. And you're called to obey your parents in everything. Why? Because it pleases the Lord. Imagine wanting to please somebody. So yesterday I took my daughter to the swimming pool, and instead of driving home, I sat in the little lobby room looking through the glass at all the people swimming, and I was working on my swimming, on my sermon notes. You can see how hard I was working. I drew a snail. I was getting lots done. And then I saw some kids in the pool I recognized from the kids' club we have here on Wednesday. So these girls, they're all swimming, and then they kind of look through the glass, and they saw me, and they wave, and they smile, and then they keep on swimming. The youngest one, every time she did something, she'd look at me, and she'd smile, and I'd smile, and she was so happy. So she's doing handstands and somersaults. And everything she did, she wanted me to smile back and wave, and she wanted me to be watching her because she knows me from Bonanza, and I've known her for 3 years, and we're buddies. She wanted to please me. So she did all sorts of somersaults and things like that because she wanted to please me. Are there people that you want to please? Sometimes you're doing something and you're like, hey, watch this. Hey, look at this. And you want people to be pleased with you, don't you? You make something really neat out of Lego and you're like, look at this. And when people tell you, you did such a great job, it makes us feel good. And when you help your brother or sister and someone notices and says, thank you for doing that, it makes you so happy inside. Just one sec. And this verse is telling us, children, obey your parents, because who are you pleasing? The Lord. You're pleasing your Father in heaven. And so as you obey your parents, God's smiling down. Because God's watching, and he sees. And everything that you do, when you're asked to go to bed, asked to help, asked to calm down a little bit, and you smile and you say, it's really hard and I don't want to, but I'll obey you now, God sees, and he's smiling. And when you choose not to, makes God sad, and he says, ouch, that hurts. But he'll still forgive you. He'll still love you. He'll still bring you back and give you a great big hug. So, kids, obey your parents in everything because it pleases the Lord. Let me pray for you, okay? God, thank you for these kids. Thank you for the homes that you've put them in, the people to care for them. And in all of this, teach them to obey. Teach them to obey their parents so that they can learn to obey you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.